The transgender issue is our topic for this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Terry Schilling, who is involved with the American Principles Project. And Terry, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay, so let's get into it as far as the transgender issue. First of all, what are your thoughts in reference to the recent Supreme Court decision, Bostock?
This was one of the worst decisions that the Supreme Court has ever come up with. We had, you know, I compare this to Roe v. Wade.
Whoa.
You know, the Roe v. Right. No, I think that it's almost as damaging. It's just, it's the Roe v. Wade of gender. Right, so you had Roe v. Wade, which was basically the destruction of the human person at its very infancy, at its very beginning. Then in 2015, we had the Roe v. Wade of marriage with Obergefell, where we changed the definition of marriage for all 50 states. And this decision right here is the Roe v. Wade of gender. And what it's going to do is it's going to change the definition of gender throughout the entire court system. It is a total disaster, and there's going to be a lot of really bad things to come from this.
Okay, for those who've been in a cave for the last couple of weeks, explain what is the Bostock decision and why is it so bad?
Essentially, what the Bostock decision is that under the civil rights law, specifically Title VII, as it relates to employment discrimination, the Supreme Court ruled that the word sex in Title VII refers to sexual orientation and gender identity. And so essentially what this does is it erases throughout our entire civil rights law in Title VII the protections that we have set into place for women in the workplace. It sets women back, it sets our children back, and it's going to lead to further confusion in this great country.
What do you mean by Title VII?
Title VII is the part of the civil rights law that bans discrimination on the basis of race, sex, national origin, and creed. And so it basically bans employers from being able to fire people or refuse to hire people based on those four concepts. Those four characteristics. And with this, the reason that it's a major problem, you know, just from looking at it, is that elementary schools and high schools are now going to be forced to retain teachers who transition, right? So let's say, for example, you have a kindergarten teacher in a public school, and Mr. Smith comes back after the summer break as Mrs. Smith. Well, the school will no longer be able to move that teacher to another classroom or change any of their terms of employment. Which means that we're going to have to start teaching our kids about gender fluidity and all of this crazy stuff and radical stuff that we really should be protecting them from.
What about Christian schools or church schools? Would they have have the same thing?
The religious and private schools is yet to be determined. For example, Bob Jones University lost its tax deductible status way back, I believe, in the 80s.
Yeah.
That was over race. And so if they're putting this type of decision in place when it comes to gender identity, it's up in the air as to whether or not this will apply to private and Christian schools.
I understand that the particular or one of the cases involved in this Bostock decision involved, it was like this. A funeral home run and owned by a Christian organization or Christian people, okay, longstanding traditions and so forth. And they had a man that they had hired and so forth. And then that man wanted to be, you know, dressed like a woman. And the organization just felt like, you know, okay, we need a parting in the ways. We, you know, this is a funeral home. We need to have, you know, death with dignity. You know, we don't need the bearded lady, you know, from the freak show. Forgive me, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. You know, representing our clients and dealing with these grieving families and stuff. And he sued when he was terminated, and he won. Oh, and I think in the process, somewhere along the lines, he died. Sometimes these lifestyles are not very healthy, and they die young. But now he has won from the grave, something he cannot enjoy, you know, trust me, unless he, you know, repented and stuff and came to believe in Jesus. But anyway, your comments.
Look, I think you spelled out the case incredibly well. The thing is that, you know, when it comes to funerals, we have to admit that this is a controversial lifestyle. Most Americans don't even really understand it. They're willing to let people be and let them live their lives. But, you know, if you're a strongly devout Christian family who's offended by transgenderism or drag queens and all of that, you know, you should have the right to bury your loved ones without having to have controversial things that you disagree with and lifestyles that you disagree with. You should have the right to not have to put up with that in your moments of grievances. But I think that the bigger ramification for this is what the impact is going to be on our schools and what we're teaching our children and those types of influences. You know, our children are our future. Our families determine the future of this country. And once you start confusing and corrupting children in early ages, you're confusing and corrupting the future of the country. And it's a total disaster. It's the Roe v. Wade of gender, and I think that Gorsuch and Roberts should be absolutely ashamed of themselves for portraying conservatives in this way.
I wonder how they arrived at this decision.
You don't know. You know, they're claiming that Gorsuch is a textualist, which actually goes against a lot of his previous rulings before he was on the Supreme Court. Gorsuch has lots of writings in his decisions previously and was heavily vetted. I mean it. He's the second most vetted Supreme Court nominee in recent time, second only to obviously Brett Kavanaugh. And his writings and his judgments all deferred to the original intent of our laws and what those framers wanted.
Wow.
And this was a huge turnaround. I don't know what was behind their reasoning, but it's very shocking and alarming, and we should be very concerned about their future on the court and the impact that they will have.
In my broadcast ministry, I've interviewed a man that transitioned as far as the transgender issue. He transitioned in terms of he went all the way, got clipped and all that stuff, and became a woman and lived as a woman, so-called, for 7 years until he had a real spiritual awakening and healing and so forth. His name is Walt Heyer. Well, recently I heard that Walt Heyer, as an ex-transgender, his testimony now has been banned from, you know, some of the social media platforms. So, in other words, you're allowed to promote transgender, you know, pro-transgender messages, but the testimonials of those who live that life and then got out of it and want to get out of it, that's not allowed to be heard. So that's a terrible, you know, potential problem for the future.
Well, Jerry, the thing is about Walt Heyer and a lot of these people who are former LGBT is their testimonies against that lifestyle are a real threat to the agenda of the LGBT movement. The LGBT movement has sold America a lie, which is that you're born this way and you can never, ever change. And what these former LGBT people do is they cut that narrative into a million different parts and just totally destroy it. They're a real threat, which is why they're banning them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was kind of glancing through some of the comments from Neil Gorsuch, you know, in the Bostock decision, and implied in the decision was something like, along the lines of, well, they are born that way. You know, we can't, you know, how are we to discriminate against these people? And think about it. If they really were born that way and there was nothing that they could do about it, then that really would be discrimination. But it is nurture, not nature, as we hear from so many people who transitioned out of it.
Well, Jerry, here's the thing. It's not about how you're born. It's about what's best for you, what's best for your soul, what's best for your health. What can we do? You know, I mean, there are lots of people who are born without arms and legs. Do we refuse to give them prosthetics or help them rehabilitate their lives so that they can live as normal a life as possible? No, we help them correct the defects that they're born with or the things that are wrong in their life. And the thing is that this gender confusion that people have, it is very real. But putting kids on puberty blockers and doing surgeries on them, which are permanent, by the way, it's permanent mutilation of someone's body and damage, it's a disaster. It adds to the confusion. It doesn't take away. I put it very simply. The left and progressive advocates for the LGBT movement, they want to embrace the gender dysphoria. And as a conservative and as a Christian, I want to conquer gender dysphoria. I want to turn it around. I want to heal it. I want people to feel comfortable in their own bodies. You know, it's a real shame, and I really level with these people who suffer from gender dysphoria. I can't imagine what they're going through. But I want to make it so that they don't need all the extra drugs. They don't need all the extra surgeries to feel comfortable. They should feel comfortable in their body just naturally how it is, and that's what our focus should be on.
Yeah, well, and I talked one time with a pediatrician, and he said that, I forgot the statistic, but it was like 90 to 95%, something like that. It was a high, high number of all cases where a young person, you know, is feeling confused about, you know, am I really a boy trapped in a girl's body or vice versa? He said that the vast majority of these things resolve themselves by the time of puberty. So that's an important factor. Now, we have a couple minutes remaining. How about a comment about women's sports? Because that doesn't seem very fair. Like if a man, you know, a man says, I'm a woman now, and then he goes and wins all kinds of medals as a supposed woman weightlifter. I mean, come on. That doesn't work. I don't get it.
Right. Well, this is actually referring, you know, we established Title IX of the Civil Rights Code to protect women and to give them equal opportunities in athletics and education. And luckily, we have a Department of Justice who just in May ruled that allowing biological males to compete in female athletic competitions is a violation of Title IX. And essentially what that is it's a threat that any school, and there are dozens of them, possibly even hundreds of them across the country that are actually allowing biological males to compete in women's athletics, it puts their Title IX funding at risk. So it's a real threat, and it's a really good thing to help protect women's rights and their educational athletic opportunities. And so we're really lucky to have Bill Barr and the Department of Justice, and also, by the way, Betsy DeVos at the Department of Education has been great on this issue. So we're really blessed with the Trump administration. They understand the importance of protecting women's scholarships and opportunities in education and athletics, and we're really lucky. We should all keep praying for them to stay strong, because decisions like this Bostock case could have an adverse effect on that, on these types of protections.
Yeah, would you say that someday then the Supreme Court decision and the Department of Justice are, you know, going to conflict on this? Certainly the women's sports issue, it sounds like.
No, that's exactly right. And the real problem with the Bostock decision is the effect that it's going to have on lower courts and the federal agencies. Lower courts are going to, you're going to see progressive judges be emboldened to be more aggressive on these gender identity issues. And they're going to interpret it broadly across the spectrum. And they're going to cite the Bostock case. It's also going to put squishy conservative justices in a really tough bind and give them an excuse to waffle on the issues. But it's going to have lasting impact. And we should really pray for our country and our judges to do the right thing.
Is there some way we can somehow undo the Bostock decision?
We're going to, that's really tough. Listen, I think that part of this is what we have to do is go the Abraham Lincoln route, where we start treating these Supreme Court cases as only referring and applying to the immediate individuals involved in the case instead of.
This applies to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do. That's what Lincoln did with Dred Scott. And that's exactly what I would do with this Bostock decision. But that's going to take strong governors, strong representatives, strong senators, and a very strong president to do that. I think luckily we have a president in President Trump that's willing to do that.
All right. We're basically out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. AmericanPrinciplesProject.org for more information. Terry Schilling. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.